It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Sandy Rios with you here in the morning, and I would not be here with you every day if it weren't for our next guest, who's going to join us by a recording. You know, in 1977, Reverend Don Wildman, who was a pastor at the First United Methodist Church in South Haven, Mississippi, founded what was called the National Federation for Decency. I was a teenager then, but I remember that pastor appearing on television and in his southern way, smart as a fox, talking to us about how media and culture had descended into something that we didn't recognize. And I want you to hear his voice, because today we're going to talk about the 40 years that the American Family Association has been in action. I want you to end this program understanding who we are, what we're doing, understanding our foundings, and have an appreciation, as I do, for how it all began. Here is the Reverend Don Wildman.
In 1973, the Supreme Court said it was okay to kill unborn babies. Since then, we've killed more than the entire population of Canada. And it continues. A woman's choice, half of those who've died in the mother's wombs have been women. They didn't have a choice. It's called abortion. Me? I go to church, the minister preaches, and I go home. That's what Christians do now. First it was in dingy, dirty theaters, then convenience stores, then grocery stores, then on television. Now it's in the homes of millions via the internet. It's called pornography. Me? I go to church, minister preaches, and I go home. That's what Christians do now. They call it no fault. Why should we blame anyone when something so tragic happens? Haven't they already suffered enough? Half the marriages in America end this way. The children suffered. The family broke down. It's called divorce. Me? I go to church, a minister preaches, and I go home. That's what Christians do now. One time it was a perversion. We kept it secret. We secured help and hope for those who practice it. Now it's praised. We have parades celebrating it, and elected officials give it their blessing. Now it's endowed with special privileges and protected by special laws. Even some Christian leaders and denominations praise it. It's called homosexuality. Me? I go to church, the minister preaches, and I go home. That's what Christians do now. It used to be an embarrassment, a shame. Now a third of all births to mothers are to mothers who aren't married. Two-thirds of all African-American children are born into a home without a father. The state usually pays the tab. That's why we pay our taxes, so that government can take the place of parents. After all, government bureaucrats know much better how to raise children than parents do. It's called illegitimacy. Me? I go to church, a preacher, the minister preaches, and I go home. That's what Christians do now. At one time it was wrong, but then the state decided to legalize it, promote it, and tax it. It has ripped apart families and destroyed lives. But just look at all the money the state's raised. No longer do we have to teach our children to study and work hard. Now we teach them they can get something for nothing. We spend millions encouraging people to join the fun and the excitement. Just look at the big sums that people are winning. They'll never have to work again. It's called gambling. Me? I go to church, the minister preaches, and I go home. That's what Christians do now. Not long ago, Christians were the good guys. But now any positive image of Christians in movies or on television is gone. We're now depicted as the bad guys, greedy, narrow-minded hypocrites. The teacher can't have a Bible on her desk, but can have Playboy. We don't have Christmas, Easter holidays, just winter and spring breaks. We can't pray in school, but we can use foul language. It's called being tolerant. Me? I go to church. The minister preaches. I go home. That's what Christians do now. Yes, all of these things came to pass within 30 years. Where were the Christians? Why, they were in church. All these things are for somebody else to deal with. Times have changed. Involvement has been replaced with apathy. But don't blame me. I didn't do anything. I go to church. The minister preaches. I go home. That's what Christians do now.
All right, Don Weilman, you know, he was the founder of the American Family Association. Every generation has at least one prophet, and I have to say that I think Don Weilman was a prophet for his generation. I had the privilege of working with Don when I was president of Concerned Women for America. He was an inspiration to me, a friend, and he was a hardliner, just like me. And who would have thought that so many years later I would be working here at the American Family Association for his son, Tim Weilman, who's sitting with me today. Tim is the president of American Family Association. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Sandy. Good morning.
Now, when you hear that, are you like getting ready in the, you know, in the bathroom on Sunday and hearing your father's voice in your ear talk about these things?
I think what we just heard was from 1999 or right in there. Yeah, that was a long time ago that we just heard
that.
Oh,
yeah.
But he was, you know, the words are still true today, obviously even more so. Probably true today than they were at that time. But, you know, you're right. Prophet is a big word to use in terms of the power of the meaning of the word. But I think you're right because I remember Dad talking about the foundations of what he just described. The immorality, the foundations of the immorality was secular humanism, which attacked the Judeo-Christian system that our country was built under. And I remember Dad preaching on that and talking about that and writing about that. And I remember in one of our first few National Federation for Decency journals, which later became the American Family Association journals, Dad about once a year would reprint the Humanist Manifesto, which was from the American Humanist Association. Today in politics, we call that secular progressivism, so to speak. But it's the idea that man is God. God is not God, but man is God. And so Dad understood that, back to your idea of him being a prophet, a prophetic voice he was for the times.
Tim, this is a personal question. I'm sure I've asked you this before, but not every son of a father like that comes his dad's way, mm-hmm. comes God's way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's total rebellion. Sometimes there's just a boredom, a lethargy mm-hmm. that sets in. But somehow you really did catch your dad's passion for truth. And this is what you're doing now, speaking the truth yourself without apology. That's one of the reasons I love working for you.
Well,
how did that happen?
Much. Well, I was inquisitive of my dad. Of course, I highly respected him, as probably many listeners now respect their fathers, respect their elders. But I listened to what he said and I asked him a lot of questions. And I also was an avid reader, even in my teens. I would read the newspaper every day, and Sports Section First, I have to confess, but I did read the news. And then I also read, books that helped me understand what he was talking about, so including the Bible. So I began to grasp, even in my late teens, the worldviews that were in collision that he was talking about. So I didn't ever, I know some parents can do the best they can do and their kids go the other way. And, you know, but I really respected him, listened to him, learned under him, and also was able to grasp what he was talking about. You know, God helped me that way.
Yes, I think certainly God we have to say every child right. has a choice. You know, every child has a choice. But I think mm-hmm. one of the poison pills is when parents say one thing and live another. And
well,
I think
that wasn't my dad.
That creates the biggest division. It's like dad's yeah. a deacon, but you don't see him at home, you know? Or
No. My dad was consistent in his Christian yeah. walk. You know, he was a man like anybody else, could make mistakes, but none big and none where you would cancel out his testimony because he did something else in his private life. There's nothing like that.
Sitting to your left is the executive vice president of the American Family Association, an Italian of all things, Ed Vitagliano.
Hey,
Ed. Hey. Ed, if someone were to press you now, because you have a big job here, and would say, what is AFA? What would you say?
Well, thank you, Sandy, and it's a privilege to be on with you and live with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's let me just kind of start a little bit back before I came to AFA. Now, I've known Tim and Randall Murphy, the editor of the AFA Journal, J.J. Jasper. I've known them since the 70s because I was living here in Tupelo where the ministry is headquartered. And I used to get the AFA Journal and used to read and always liked political science. And I was in the pastorate at the time and was for many years. But I saw the connection between the Bible and the history of the Bible and the spiritual lessons that I drew from the scripture about cultures and how they decline and how individual sin and corporate sin, all those things tie in together with the life a particular generation is experiencing. And I saw that with the Ministry of American Family Association. I saw what they were emphasizing and I was saying, I get that. I get the fact that, you know, one of the expressions in politics is that elections have consequences. Well, ideas have consequences. And cultural trends have consequences, and what goes on in families, all these things have consequences. And I saw AFA, even before I came here to work here almost 22 years ago, I saw AFA addressing that, and it just all clicked. And so just on a very simple basis, you know, the ministry calls Christians to understand that spiritual things have real-world consequences. And what AFA does is always along those lines. It is always an encouragement to people to learn. We inform, we equip, we activate. That's part of our mission statement. And that just seems so Christian to me. It seems so Christian to me that we should not be ignorant of the schemes of the devil. We should always be equipping people to do something with the spiritual truths we see in the Bible, and then people should do stuff because faith without works is dead. And I was privileged to come to work here with the American Family Association because despite what a lot of Christians say, that we should stay out of politics and culture, I say I don't see how a Christian can stay out.
You know, Ed, I always think of the Great Commission, which growing up, I thought, you know, meant preaching the gospel, meaning the good news of Jesus, that God sent his son to die for the world, to save them from their sins. But it's so much more, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And Jesus addressed the religious leaders who were also the political leaders. He addressed everything. He may not have mentioned gay marriage or, you know, some of the details because that wasn't an issue. But he addressed the whole world and the concept. And so God is in everything. So I have not understood. I know God has led me into this ministry of merging total commitment to Jesus, to what's going on in the world, seamlessly from scripture and verse to the headlines, you know, back and forth, because I don't see how you separate them either. And that's what the American Family Association does, American Family Radio, all of our publications. When we come back, we have two other guests we want to introduce. We're going to go back a little bit into the history of AFA. We're also going to talk about what's happening now. We've touched on it, but we're going to give you more information about that. I know most of you know about radio, sort of, but there are other things that AFA does too, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
What could I say to you? that would help you go back out where it's rough, where it seems like we're getting beaten all the time. Let me tell you something. All God asks of you is faithfulness. That's it. Your availability is what He's concerned about. He'll take care of the ability part. And all the odds are against us, but so what? We are His child. God doesn't judge by the same standards with which the world judges. Thank God for that. And God's truths are not dependent upon some politician. Thank God for that. Faithfulness is the word, not necessarily success.
All right, that was the Reverend Alan Wildman speaking when he was still speaking. And, you know, my path intersected Don's when I was in Washington. It was sort of toward the end of his time before he had a disease that really took him. He's still with us, but it really sapped his energies and made it not possible for him to do public speaking like that. But I remember sitting with him as we worked through the issue of our time, and that was gay marriage. And we had our hands full, and the opposition was great as we fought that. So, and he was so faithful, and we fought it and didn't win, but we were faithful. And we're not done yet. The battle's not over as far as I'm concerned. American Family Association has been in existence for 40 years. And I've already introduced to you Tim Wildman, the president, Ed Vitagliano, the executive vice president. I want to turn to Fred Jackson, who's also with us. Fred is the news director for American Family Radio. He came to us from Canadian broadcasting, which I happen to know since my son was in Canada for so long. It's a high bar of excellence, and that's what he brings to our shop here. Fred, tell us about the news program, not the news program, the news operation, how it works, kind of give us a flavor of what kind of reporters you have and what kind of what your niche is.
Well, you've been talking about our founder, Don Wildman. When I came down here first time was 1996, and I was with public broadcasting in Canada for 17 years. And like so many secular news outlets, it forsook its foundation. News used to be about reflect to the people, to the listener, what is going on out there. In fact, my teachers back in the day, which would have been late 70s or so, they were very strict. They were ex-BBC people. And if they read one of my stories and they felt that my opinion was beginning to insert itself into the story, they said, that's not going on the air. All I want from you is what he said and she said, that's it. That totally changed over 17 years. In fact, the promotion became, I want your bias in there, reporter. I want to know how you feel about the issue. And on top of that, they began hiring people who only had one side of the story. And that was the secular humanist side of the story. And so God just led me here, and Brother Don was wanting to start a news service because he realized that we had American Family Radio, but people were still getting their news from secular news sources, which were making that transformation into a voice box for secular humanism. So he said, I have to start our own news service. So that's how it all began.
So this was his vision, too?
It was part of his vision, that we needed something that could, a vehicle to get the news of the day out there, tell people what's going on in their world, but from a Christian perspective. And when we first started, to be honest, it was hard finding material to get for the newscasts. We only were doing two or three a day. In fact, we used to bring in Ed Vitagliano, a guy from the AFA Journal.
Yeah, you were really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
To do some stories
for us. An Italian
to
boot.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he has his Boston Bruin bias, but that's a whole other story. So, but what happened over time is that there were other journalists, Christian journalists, working in secular media, and they were finding the same thing that I found out. There wasn't a home for us anymore. We were treated like piranhas. We were treated like the bad guys in these newsrooms. And so we started to expand. We started to attract people from secular media, Christians who wanted to come in. And so we grew the news service. God just drew people in, and we were able to expand our newscasts. We're now running 12, 13 newscasts a day on radio. And then one day, Brother Don came into my office, and he said, "You know, Fred, you got a lot of news journalism here, and we need to take the radio stuff and turn it into print stuff." And that's a paraphrase, but it's pretty close the way he put it. And so that began the idea of looking for someone who could do that kind of work for us. And we hired a young man from California, Jody Brown. He was young then. And Jody Brown came in and started transferring things into, and we called it Agape Press at that time when it first got started. But Brother Don with time wanted to change the name, and so we had some time to think about that. It came out to One News Now, and we tried to encompass in that this was a place where you could come and you get the weather storms, the tornado storms, and that sort of thing. That was another thing that was kind of in our thinking. We didn't want it to just be about Christian news, because then people would have to go somewhere else.
Well,
to
also
get
what we talked about, all news, it's all about God's work in this world.
Exactly.
Even if it's about your dogs, you know, everything.
Yeah. So we wanted, that was the name, One News Now. You come to one place to get your news for the day. And so now we have our radio reporters, they're producing these pieces each day, which our team on the One News Now side takes and expands into a print story. And One News Now, it's a wonderful resource. It really is. I encourage people, pastors, Sunday school teachers, to look at it as a place that you can give an example of what's going on in our culture today and the threats to religious freedom. And I've got to tell you, there's been a tremendous transformation from when we started all this 20 years ago to today. We used to have slow news days. We don't anymore.
We don't even slow half days.
No, because the spiritual warfare, and that drives the news because of the challenges that are faced. And we have people who specialize in education because we all know that there are great challenges going on in our education system to what Christian moms and dads are trying to treat their kids at home. You've got this Rockland, California case, which we recently reported on. Little five-year-olds being indoctrinated on transgenderism. The parents complained after they found out after the fact, but you know what the school board decided a few weeks ago? And we're seeing this all the time. We don't have to tell you, Mom and Dad, what we're doing with your kids. That's scary.
That's what they've been doing actually for decades now, a couple of decades at least.
This has been going on.
We didn't know it, though.
It's the kind of story that's happening out there. But it's, I would say our news today is largely driven because of the spiritual battles that are going out there that transform itself into the political battles that we talk so much about. It's all spiritual. It really is. It's an attack of Satan's crowd against Christian values.
I would say absolutely, and I would say that's the niche that American Family Radio has right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was on Fox 2, same thing. It's like the stories now about whether it's about Islam, they're blatantly spiritual. God is in everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a problem talking about, if I could, sports, if I were able, if I had the vocabulary, I would talk about sports. But I mean, God is in everything because it's men's character and the way they behave. It's all of it. But now it's open warfare, spiritual warfare. And without the dimension of the understanding of who God is and that warfare, you can't fully talk about this stuff. And that's why we play right now, I think, a crucial role in what's going on in the world as we see things hurtling out of control. Sitting to your right is Buddy Smith. Buddy is the senior vice president. You're the longest. No, you have to be. You have to be the longest serving staff member now, right?
No. There are a few elders around here that have me beat a little bit. I've been here for 25 years. I know Randall Murphy's. He's probably got the long stretch.
Okay.
The journal editor.
But you go back with Don way further than that.
I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
So tell me about Buddy, the young Buddy Smith and the young Don Weidelman.
Oh, my.
What happened between those guys?
Well, Don is my elder. However, we do both share the fact that we were United Methodist ministers and pastored along the way. And I was newly ordained and going to annual conferences of the denomination and got to know Don in that setting. He was a firebrand back then, too.
Did he make you uncomfortable?
No, it really didn't make me uncomfortable, but it was interesting to see colleagues' response to him, because he did always stoke the fire. And
so he made some people feel uncomfortable.
Yes, he did. No doubt about that. I can recall him coming before the conference with urgency about the silence of the church over some of the great moral issues of the day back then, and Don urging the church to break the silence and take a stand against sin and for righteousness. And I can remember the elbows of some of my colleagues and the sneers. And, you know, it's Wildman again. He's on a rant. And I look back on those days and I see how God was in that, because God had bigger things for Don and for this ministry of AFA and AFR than what he was trying to do there. So I could see God was at work. But
Buddy, in all these years that you've watched AFA then grow from a little bitty thing to a great big thing, what is the thing that you point to that you, I know this is a hard question, but that you're proudest of? The moment, the thing, the entity, the program, the whatever?
Well, we all certainly see Brother Don as the spark, as our founder, whom God used to raise all this up. Like most people who spend a little time around him, I think about a quote from Billy Graham, who said, "Courage is contagious, and when a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened." And that's certainly true with my relationship with Brother Don. That's true with Tim today. We're blessed. I remember one of the columns Don wrote in years past about the greatest gift that we can give and the greatest gift he was given. And he talks about how he was raised in a Christian home. And so I think, you know, AFA today, with who we are and what we have to give, what we have to share, it's Christ. And He is our only hope, and a revived church, an alive church, the body of Christ, awakened. I think the greatest gift we have to bring is to say, church, it's time to be awake and fully alive.
Yep.
And let God use our availability to be a change agent. I believe the church is the greatest change agent in the world.
Tim, you're on an airplane, and you've just sat down, and you got a man on your left, and he says to you, "Hi, I'm John Smith, and I do this, and you are, and what is it you do, and how in the world, what do you say, and what do you say to kind of explain?"
Well, I've had that happen to me many times on the golf course.
All right, on the golf course then.
I have, because when we vacation, I usually go golf by myself. And when you golf by yourself, they'll put you with somebody. It's just potluck, you know. And sorry, Presbyterians, but that's just the way it is. just kidding. Presbyterians can take a joke, can't they? That was funny. That was funny. I don't care who you are, as they say.
Four.
But anyway, so they'll put you with somebody, and you don't know them, and so inevitably I'll get out in the golf course, and you're with somebody 4 hours, and you're sitting right beside them. And you don't know them, so you get to know each other, and they'll ask me, you know, about hole three or four. They'll say, "Hey, so anyway, what do you do for a living?" And sometimes they would have used a bad word in describing one of their golf shots. And then when I say, "Well, I work for a Christian ministry," that's usually how I introduce it. I work for a Christian ministry. Then they go, "Oh, I'm so sorry, man. I don't usually talk like that. I just I let one slip there, but I'll be careful." They think, you know, just because you say we work for Christian ministry, maybe you're going to judge them for saying a bad word.
You're keeping score.
But the point, yes. But to your question, I'm getting to your question. Your question was, how do you explain to them what you do?
Yeah.
And so I usually start by saying I work for a Christian ministry, and then from there we go a little deeper, and then I'll tell them I work for a pro-family organization or a traditional values organization, pro-life, those kinds of things. And they begin to get it, that you work for a conservative Christian ministry. And then they then they don't care anymore. They're back to their own golf game, usually. But anyway, you know, that's how I describe us. I tell people, you want the simplest mission statement I can give you, and this is not official. We have an official written mission statement. But our mission statement might as well be, if God is for it, we're for it, and if God's against it, we're against it. What's your next question? You know, that's basically, it's basically simplified like that. I got a buddy that tell one funny story. Do we have time?
Can you hold that funny story?
I sure can. I hear the music.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll have the funny story.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm going to ask each of you to sort of underscore something that AFA has done, or American Family Radio, any of its entities, that you're particularly proud of, something that you want people to know. It could be an initiative. It could be a certain outlet. It could be anything, really. But let's kind of give them some information. Because I'm sure, Tim, if you want people to really respect our work, and I know you do, there are certain things that you would probably point to.
And we're making a difference.
Yeah. Yes. So let's come back and talk about that. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Turn the television off week was a unique action. Never been tried before. I knew it would grab the attention of the media. It's all the background for good media story, good media play. You know, here's this small town preacher thinks he's going to do something pertaining, affecting television, you know. And so I played the game in order to get the publicity, in order to get the word out. I played Dom a lot of time, which came natural for me. But if your opposition thinks that you're Dom or Dom-er, then that puts you at an advantage. So I played the role for a while. The media gave me a good bit of publicity for a while until it became evident that, hey, he just may be able to pull this thing off or do something. And when that became evident, then the media backed off, and instead of playing the game of David and Goliath, then they began the attack game, which has been going on ever since.
Reverend Don Wildman talking about Turn Off the TV Week, which was 1977, and really kind of what some would say was the beginning of the American Family Association. Reverend Don Wildman. And my guests today are Tim Wildman, the president of AFA, Ed Vitagliano, the executive vice president, Buddy Smith, the senior vice president, and Fred Jackson, who's the news director for AFR Talk. And we're just reflecting on 40 years that AFA has been in existence. Now, Tim, you said there was a funny story.
Well, real quick, of course, we've been lauding Dad a lot here, and he deserves the accolades and the praise for following God's call on his life and leading us to where we are today, where we're all sitting around talking about the ministry of AFA and what we've been able to do. But Dad wasn't on top of everything because he didn't know what to do with Buddy Smith and his email issue. This is about the time the internet came along. Now, put yourself back in time, and we're sitting in the office. Mine's close to Buddy, and I didn't hear this particular conversation, but Buddy tells it about my dad, the prophet, thinking that maybe Buddy was not making the best use of his time. You want to tell that story real quick, Buddy?
I will, Tim. Your dad was such a visionary, and yet in the same mix, he was a micromanager. It seemed like he was like my mom. He just had eyes everywhere. He knew everything about everybody, what they were doing. And he'd come
by. You found something, that's how it is, you know.
Yes.
Go ahead.
He would pass by my office, and this was like, say, about the time Al Gore invented the internet and we started email communications. And I was kind of a national field director. We had groups out there organized in the field, but I began to email some communications with these folks. And then My list grew to 100 or so email addresses, and then we decided to actually take on an issue. Some company in America was misbehaving, doing something they shouldn't have been doing. So we got an email address, and everybody started emailing them, and we began having some successes, and decided to open the list up. I found a way to do that and began to grow it. But Don would come by my office, and he'd see me all buried up in a computer monitor and not writing a letter or on the phone. He'd come in and sit down. He'd say, buddy, what are you doing? And I'd say, well, Brother Don, I'm communicating. I found this way. It's very inexpensive. It's so helpful. I can just get the word out. And, well, I don't know. Every time I come by here, you know, you've got your head kind of buried up in that computer. I'm just, you know, are you really making good? I'd be wasting some time. I said, no, sir, here's what I'm doing. I try to show him, and he'd leave and come back. Same story. This went on and on. And finally, one day he comes in, and he said, tell me a little bit more about this email thing. So I told him again, probably for the 10th time. And he said, He said, so how many are on your list? I said, well, it's kind of becoming a nightmare. I got like 7,000, and I'm having to change addresses for people. And he said, so you mean you can do this? I said, yes, sir. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I believe I'll just take that operation over. And I said, well, yes, sir, you're the boss. So Tim, he took, I think I got it to 7,000. He took it to 7,000, and right now today, that same list that you manage is 1.8 million supporters and activists. So God did a good thing.
And along the way, it became his idea, didn't it?
It did. That's absolutely the way it works, isn't it? It was a great idea. Yes.
Yeah, we used to joke about Dad in that way. Of course, this is not any criticism, Dad, but a lot of people. But I'd go in and talk to Dad about an idea I had about something we should do. And he would look at me and shake his head and say, that's a good idea. And then he'd inevitably say, you know, I was just thinking about that. I was thinking, half the time he was joking, but the other half, he probably had been thinking about that. But that's the way he is.
Yeah. Well, look, isn't that something? And so the list.
Yeah.
The way we communicate with our members, I guess membership we'd say, is 1.8 million. And, of course, that's just email addresses. That doesn't represent the families at the other end.
Right.
And so AFA's reach is actually very broad. And, Tim, also, could you quantify it again with radio stations and print and everything?
Yeah, our overall impact is felt through the emails that Buddy just mentioned, which we call the Action Alert List. And we have 184 AFR radio stations across the country.
36 states, I think.
36 or 38, something like that, states. Have they taken two states away?
I don't know.
They've added seven.
Oh, they've added.
Remember, there's 57.
I know George Soros was trying to take a couple away. I don't know if he was successful in that.
California's about there.
California.
He's about to go, yeah.
Goodbye. just kidding, if you live in California. But anyway, the thing about it is our AFA Journal, which Ed worked for a long time.
It's 223,000 for the December issue. Mm-hmm. So
223,000 people, families, get our magazine.
Right.
Since print is not thriving, that's a pretty huge number, isn't it, for magazines they go now?
Yeah, I think it is, and the number has continued to go up as people find out about the AFA Journal. And I'm probably like a lot of people. I like something physical in my hands, and so I think it still has some staying power. But a very fine staff of writers. As we mentioned, Randall Murphy's the editor for the journal. But anyway.
then we have our news organization, which Fred heads up, and you talked to Fred about that earlier. So, Fred, we have our One News Now alerts that go out daily, news briefs that go out daily, right?
Yeah, we have a news brief. You can come to onenewsnow.com and sign up for that, and we'll just send you one email a day. We won't crowd your mailbox with so-called breaking news every 20 seconds, as some networks have been known to do.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
But we give you that every day, and it's a great summary of the news that our reporters are doing, what's going on in your world. We also have videos for those who like to get their news video-wise. So it's all in a package there. We have a little poll we put together every day so that you can sound off on how you feel about the issues of the day, and people love to do that. We have a response to the poll, by the way. We don't talk about that all that much. But sometimes we'll get more than what I see in the major newspapers. A lot of newspapers do polls. We'll get 6,000, 7,000 people responding to a poll. a daily poll, which is absolutely incredible. But that tells me how our news service is resonating with people out there. And one of the greatest joys that we have is when we get feedback from our listeners, from our readers to One News Now, and they say, you know what? I never heard this anywhere else. I never heard this perspective anywhere else. And that just tells me why God has allowed this all to happen.
Well, people say to me on the air all the time, where do we go? Who can we trust? And they say to me on the air, they listen to my show, but I'm part of AFR Talk. I listen to AFR Talk because I can't find anybody that I can trust. I know I can trust you.
Yeah.
So we have become a trusted name, and we have to, of course, hold that. That's a huge responsibility when mm-hmm. people trust you. Mm-hmm. It means that we better be trustworthy.
Amen.
And that's certainly our goal. Mm-hmm. Tim, I know that there is a brand new movie we have mm-hmm. not talked about. Mm-hmm. Could you just mention that? Because AFA makes movies too.
Yeah. It's a documentary is what it is. It's an hour and a half long. It's called The God Who Speaks. And we're going to be talking about that more on American Family Radio. The God Who Speaks. Our video team, American Family Studios, they've spent over a year putting this documentary together, and it's excellent. We just previewed it at the Southern Evangelical Seminary's Apologetics Conference, and got rave reviews. And what it does, it's a look at the Word of God, the Bible, and how we can trust it, and how the veracity, the inspiration, the authority of the Scripture, because that's foundational to what we do here at AFA every day in AFR. Is the foundational Christian worldview, which puts complete trust and faith in the Bible as being true. So they set out, our team set out to put this documentary together. Josh McDowell's in it, Frank Turek's in it, a lot of great theologians and people who, historians who understand the place of the Bible in history. So we're so excited about it, and it'll be out very soon. The God Who Speaks. You'll be hearing more about it.
Ed, could you just speak? I know this is not necessarily, well, you're all involved in everything, but the Target boycott, that's another thing that we've done in the past few years that's been really pretty impactful. And so could you tell people? People don't necessarily know. I know, you know what? I was having lunch with some women somewhere in some other state, and they were talking about, I don't shop at Target anymore. And I thought, yeah, I know why you don't shop at Target anymore, you know. But they didn't really know it was us. So
that was something that we kind of believe was kind of the Lord's hand, because it was such an extraordinary thing that happened. Well, the backstory is that Target, this was around the time, this was 18 months ago, this is around the time when North Carolina had a bill that was called a bathroom bill, and they wanted to make sure that men went to men's room and women went to women's room in the public sphere. And Target decided they were going to pile on North Carolina because the media was pounding away at that state, the government of that state. And Target announced, they bragged, and they said, "Our policy is anyone can use any bathroom they want." Basically, so if a man
and dressing room,
we were just kind of stunned by that, and we said, well, we have got to stand up on this because this puts women and girls in danger, and so we announced a boycott. This was in April of 2016, and our argument was, listen, this is not to denigrate transgender people. We're not saying they're going to victimize women and young girls. We are worried that the policy is going to allow predators and voyeurs to go into the bathrooms and the changing areas and access victims. We started the boycott, and within 1 week, 7 days, 1 million people had signed up. Now, I've told this story on air before. I did my best to look along the internet to find out if any other boycott in the world ever reached 1 million that quickly. And I have not been able to find any boycott that reached those kind of numbers. 10 days was the closest. And so within 18 months, 1.5 million people have said, we are not going to shop at Target. We're going to boycott that company because they do not care about the safety of our women and children.
Well, and they've continued to do it, and their revenue has gone down. There have been all these assaults that we've reported, so we continue the boycott, and we'll have to do a longer story on that. We almost have just about 1.5 minutes left. What other thing, anything quick that pops into your mind that AFA has done, any of you, Buddy, Fred, Tim.
Well, George Barna, you know, the respected researcher, he cited us as one of the top reasons why Christians went to the polls to vote in the 2016 election cycle. And he surveyed the country among Christians and found that we were one of the top groups to make an impact there. And we're very proud of that and very glad that Christians are getting out, getting involved in politics and government so we can make a difference there.
Yeah, I'd say AFA is a trusted name, has a tremendous amount of influence. And there we come back to trust, don't we? All of us, mm-hmm. Fred doing the news, Buddy giving leadership, Tim, you're overseeing the whole ship, and Ed, the writing, and me with my voice on the radio. We take the responsibility seriously. God has called us like he called Don Wildman, and we're each playing our part, doing our best to play our role, the one that God's called us to, and for the time that he's called us to do it. So we thank each and every one of you for listening and for supporting us. This week it's been a share-a-thon. You've been so generous, and we thank God for you. We are in partnership together to be salt and light in this country and in this world. This has been Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.